volume a little bit from time to time to keep everybody awake and engaged as we doze off from our one less hour here. So, no, I'm kidding, of course. But anyway, it's great to see you. I have not had the pleasure of meeting you personally. My name is Connor Tate. I get the privilege of serving as one of the itinerant teachers and preachers with the Greater Dayton Association of Baptists. And that allows me to go around to different churches from month to month and substitute in when pastors are ill or out of town or churches are in need of pulpit support. And I love doing it. It's a privilege, and I've been here for over 5 years, and just a joy to meet so many wonderful people and worship alongside you all, and to share God's word. So I'm excited about that this morning. We are going to be wrapping up the book of Amos here shortly. I'm going to preach the first half of chapter 9, and then Zechariah is going to be back, I believe, on the 23rd of this month to preach the final few verses in the book of Amos. So hopefully, as we've been going through this book for many months now, it's been something you've been able to read on your own, something that you've been able to engage with a little bit, and something that's been fruitful and helpful for you to look at some of the small, minor prophets in the Old Testament, specifically Amos in this case. So I wanted to give you a little heads up. I will probably not be here next month with Easter and Palm Sunday in there. I don't believe I'm on the schedule. But for May into the June into the summer, Zechariah and I are planning on beginning to preach through the book of Psalms. And so we're going to spend a good amount of time preaching through that book. I've got some materials that I need to read and study to prepare for that message and that sermon series. We're not going to preach through every psalm in the entire Psalter, 150 psalms. But we are going to spend a good amount of time going through that. So hopefully that's an excitement to you. But that's kind of where we're headed next with Zechariah and I teaming up and preaching. Okay. With that being said, let's go ahead and dive into our text today. Again, Amos chapter 9, 1 through 10. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures yourself, you can follow along on the screen behind me. Again, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. So the scripture says, "I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, 'Strike the capitals until the thresholds shake, and shatter them on the heads of all the people. And those who are left of them I will kill with the sword. Not one of them shall flee away, not one of them shall escape. If they dig into Sheol, from there shall my hand take them. If they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. If they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, from there I will search them out and take them. And if they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, there I will command the serpent, and it shall bite them. And if they go into captivity before their enemies, there I will command the sword, and it shall kill them. And I will fix my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. The Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell in it mourn, and all of it rises like the Nile and sinks again, like the Nile of Egypt, who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and founds his vault upon the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name. Are you not like the Cushites to me, O people of Israel? Declares the Lord. Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. For behold, I will command and shake the house of Israel among all the nations, as one shakes with a sieve. But no pebble shall fall to the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say, disaster shall not overtake us or meet us." All right, let's go ahead and pray over our text, and we'll dive into the content today. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful time this morning to worship you, to gather, to just be able to set our hearts and minds on you, away from the busyness and oftentimes the scatteredness of our day-to-day, week-to-week lives at work and at home and after school programs and college and just so many things, Lord, that can distract us and just get us to fret and worry. And I just pray that you would secure and settle our hearts and minds in the gospel today, that we would see your love, that we would see your righteousness, and that we would ultimately just behold you for who you are in a deeper sense. Even through the material, as heavy as it is, talking about the judgment of God today, Lord, I pray that we would have a sober reminder that you are not just a God of mercy and love and grace, although you absolutely are all those things. You're also the great judge who one day all people will stand before and have to give an account of our lives too. And so, Lord, pray that that account would consist of appealing to the blood of Jesus Christ as the one who saves us from our sins. And so thank you again. Holy Spirit, be amongst us, be working, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we're going to dive into some of our introductory material today, just kind of introducing the book of Amos. I know that from month to month, there are different preachers in here preaching different topics and different books, and so sometimes we can forget some of the background historical information. Like I said in my prayer, you are arriving on a Sunday where we're going to be talking about the judgment of God. We're going to be talking about a heavy subject today, but that's why I like preaching through books of the Bible from beginning to end, is we don't have an opportunity to skip over the hard stuff. And certainly today is a harder message as we think about God as judge. But I think that we can learn something nevertheless, and that we can also have great peace and rejoicing that for believers, for Christians, that judgment is taken for us. That the pronouncement of guilty over our lives for our sin is no more for those in Christ, because the blood of Jesus has washed us white as snow and made us not guilty and innocent before the Father. And so made us righteous ultimately. And so hopefully we see that very clearly as well. Okay? But let's dive in a little bit to the book of Amos. All right, so we are right in kind of the mid-700s before the birth and the coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so we need to remember that the kingdoms here have recently split. Okay? 1 Kings 12 to 13, we see the kingdom split, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And not too long after this book, we're actually going to see Israel is going to be taken captive by the Assyrians, and they're going to be exiled out right in about 720, okay? So about three decades, maybe a generation or so after this book is going on, is taking place, we're going to see Israel exiled into captivity by the Assyrians. A little bit after that, in 587 BC, Jerusalem's going to be conquered, and Judah ultimately is going to be conquered by the Babylonians, and they're going to be exiled as well. But we're not quite there yet. We're on the tip of that, but we're not quite over the hump. And so we see that Jeroboam II is reigning in Israel. Uzziah is reigning to the south in Judah, and things are going pretty well. Economically, things are going pretty well socially for Israel and Judah. There's a lot of peace and prosperity in the land, but at the same time, it's not without its problems. There's a lot of political and ethnic animosity between the two kingdoms, a lot of infighting going on, and what has happened is that there's been a great spiritual neglect, a great spiritual complacency has flooded the land, where people are forgetting about God, and they're not interested anymore in observing the Torah and obeying and loving God through worship according to the law. And so, as I said, they're God is sending prophets to preach hard messages about sin and repentance and restoration of true worship to God, to Yahweh. But the people have deaf ears. They don't want to hear these messages. And so they are on the cusp of judgment in our book today. Let's talk a little bit about Amos specifically. So Amos, he was not a largely educated man. He was not a pastor or a rabbi, a teacher. He was a common and ordinary man. He was a shepherd. He would have worked out in the fields. He would have been a hard worker. He had his hands dirty out there as he shepherded livestock. And his name in the Hebrew seems to indicate that he was quite good at his job. He was a trainer, an overseer of other shepherds. And he was from a small city called Tekoa, which is about 10 to 11 miles south of Jerusalem. I'm going to have a map here in a moment. Talk about that a little bit. But Tekoa was in Judah. And that's significant because the main thrusts of Amos' messages were to be to Israel, to the north. So his name means burden or load, and most scholars believe that's because his ministry of going into the north, going up to Israel and preaching repentance, preaching judgment, preaching righteousness, would have been very burdening. It would have been a heavy load to bear. Because the Israelites of Israel would not have want to heard it. They didn't want to hear that message from someone from Judah. Again, there was a lot of infighting and animosity between the two kingdoms at this time. And so as we see here on the map, Tekoa is right here down in Judah, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, of course, is in Judah, and then we have Israel to the north. Okay, and so Amos is traveling to Israel, preaching in and around Israel. We saw from the first couple chapters that he had messages for some of the surrounding nations and messages for Judah as well. So it's not exclusively to Israel, but mainly. Okay, and the thrust of his messages were to Israel, calls to turn back. Calls to of their sin, indicting them for their sin, showing them that warnings of the coming day of judgment of the Lord, as well as some depictions of God's mercy in there as well. And so chapters 1 and 2 show us that Israelites would have been very excited with chapters 1 and 2, because chapters 1 and 2 dealt with the judgment of the neighboring nations, as I said, of Israel and Judah. But God was kind of setting Israel up by showing them that not only the neighboring nations are guilty of sin, but so is Israel. And so God would use the indictment of nations to also indict Israel and that nation for covenant unfaithfulness. In chapters 3 through 5, we see it's really a three-part sermon series unpacking Israel's privileged status, their unfaithfulness to the covenant, and the judgment to come. And so the big idea today as we move into chapter 9 is the following, and that is that because the judgment of God is certain, ensure you are right with God today. That's the big idea. If you don't remember anything else from our message today, remember that. Because the judgment of God is certain, ensure you are right with God today. Okay? When we read about judgment, when we read about God fulfilling retributive prophecies where he's going to come and avenge the wrongdoer and bring judgment upon unfaithfulness, what should be happening in our hearts is it should be stirring us to say, okay, wow, God keeps his word. I need to get